is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Great Shalom Broadcast, where we proclaim that God wants total well-being for all children. And hallelujah, we're all the children of God. Did you notice that we have just been through a great rescue? Yes. Now, maybe the greatest in all of history and time will be the rapture. Then, okay, that maybe this is the greatest, the penultimate greatest rescue in the history. Well, Hezekiah had a great rescue from Sennacherib, but we just had a great rescue. If you were noticing, but if you were listening to the media and the false prophet, you didn't hear about it. But it cannot be overlooked. And it matters for you and for your children. We were in a pot slowly boiling. You understand? You put a frog in a coal pot, pour some cold water, and you turn up the heat slowly, and you cook the frog to death, and he doesn't jump out because you do it slowly. Well, Americans love freedom. And Americans have some memory of traditional values. And so if you moved upon us with tanks, we would rise up and put you down. But forces, evil forces, have marched upon us slowly. And we were being confined, tacked down by a million tiny ones like Gulliver. The very words we used were stifled and twisted, and in all sectors, everywhere. And I think that we could have found ourselves in abject poverty and slavery now. I'm recording this in the end of April 2020. Now we could have been starving. Now we could have had no liberties. Now. But there was some sort of fork in the spokes, wasn't there, folks? Hallelujah. Think about the progression of how things have happened. You know, we cannot say God's judgment. This is something we cannot say except in small and private groups. We absolutely, it's just so politically incorrect. I was writing a book and I said, Reg Hina, and a dear, dear friend of mine was helping me edit, and she just came down on me like a load of bricks. We do not say that. We do not say Reg Hina. This was a couple years ago. Like, oh, really? Since when was that added to the list of politically incorrect sayings? Well, okay. We can't say anything negative, even if we're solving a problem. If it's negative, somehow, like, oh, this isn't right, then that's negative. I never quite understood that. If I'm saying, okay, now this isn't right, we can do it this way, but we don't ever get to we can do it this way. You just get slapped down because it's negative. So that means that whatever is good, and we can't make it any better, excuse me. Right, because you can't be negative. Then there has been a substitute value set so that anything that's traditional values is the problem. Anybody who says traditional values is the social problem. This was some years ago, more than 5 years ago, maybe not 10. I was reviewing a sociological textbook, and the textbook author said in his chapter on religion, all sociologists are agreed that religion is a problem for society. This is the greatest social problem. Excuse me, what? No, there is no such consensus. Please let me take you to Durkheim, the founder of sociology, who thought that you couldn't have a society without a religion to make it hang together. Or maybe let me take you to Weber, who also had significant things to say about religion. but possibly in his mind, everything but Marx has been thrown out. Really? No. No, they wouldn't agree with that. No. In fact, I was shocked, right? This was his personal opinion. Absolutely not. But good enough, he thought it was going to fly. Substitute value set. In political discourse, no longer in the United States, we were founded on the government being empowered to be government in order to protect natural rights. However, that seems to have gone out the window, and instead, we are encouraged to value the collective, whoever is that, whoever says what the collective good is. Oh, well, it's for the least advantaged. Excuse me, but is it about uplift? No, it's about addiction. Yes, I said that right. It's about addiction. So not just addiction to opioids or whatever that we could simply close our borders and not have, or do law enforcement not have, but it's about addiction to government money. And so if you're addicted to government money, then you are a slave to the government. So it's not about uplift. It's using people's putative charity by stealing from some and giving to the others. But who, when you play both ends against the middle, who's the middle? And so it's increasingly about an oligarchy, not about the common citizen. And it's not about natural rights at all, but about the collective good, according to whoever is saying that. There was a prediction, and I didn't want to hear it. I closed my mind to it, so I don't know if it was a prophecy or if it was a sociological prediction, that we meaning the United States, would look like China by 2026. Well, that wasn't unpacked for me, and I can't go back to the source to find out what they meant, but let's ask, how could it have been that we would have been like China? So China has some excellences, there is no question. They have a high value on education. They have some orderliness. They have a lot of trained people in their administration, you know, lots of MBAs and scientists in their administration, and they have a top-down society. So would we have had the kind of surveillance they have? You know, everybody's required to have a cell phone there, and everybody's watched what they're doing. And so if you are somehow a dissident, or you just do things they don't like, well, then they will reduce your credit score. You won't be able to buy the home you want. Of course, if you are a journalist, they might just simply kill you. If you're a doctor and are so bold as to suggest, we're seeing a new virus, you just might get killed. Yes, yeah, some people will say he died of the coronavirus. Okay, fine. But he was detained and arrested, and now he is dead. Okay, this kind of efficiency, actually, Chinese people tell me that within China, it's so corrupt that you can't have a business, really, and you know, you can't have a very prosperous business unless you do it outside of the country. You can buy off the people in your district, but it just simply, you can't make a profit if you have to buy off people from other districts, so you can't make a prosperous business that's domestic. You have to have a foreign. So China may not be quite as strong as we imagine, but it is strong. And did you see what happened to the attorney in Germany? She wrote some legal briefs criticizing the government's moves with regard to coronavirus, something that would be well within the right and even duty of an American attorney. And she was being harassed, and she called the police for protection, and then they took her and they abused her physically and psychologically very seriously. And I don't know that she's released yet. This is extraordinarily worrisome. Of course, it was the Germans who took children away from parents who were home educating them, too. Did you see what happened to Pastor Rodney Howard Brown in Florida? He had some legal briefs posted on his website about the seriousness of the diminution of rights if the government could willy-nilly close them down. And of course, the government had no legal right to do this. It is not in the Constitution, nor is it in any kind of legislative law, that there can be a quarantine of non-sick people. You can quarantine somebody who's sick because, now, maybe it was prudent. Fine and good. There was some sort of regulation put in about this at the very end of the Obama administration, which I think is extraordinarily suspicious. But nevertheless, there was no law in place. So there was no legal right for any government, federal or state or county, to quarantine the whole population, although I think we had an agreement that maybe that was the thing to do at the time. But certainly the federal government did have the right to close the borders, and that closed, you know, flights to China. And that was widely criticized at the time. And then, of course, the same people criticized the president for not doing it soon enough later. But that's a major point we need to talk about. But I opened up this kind of, so this is just a quick flyover of recent news. Rodney Howard Brown had a legal brief on his website, and he was having service, but that was completely permitted and legal. And he had discussed this with the sheriff. Apparently that was the authority in that county. And in some ways the sheriff is the county authority, because he's tasked with protecting us from federal government. Anyway, and they had hand sanitizers and were social distancing and had masks and gloves and everything. And even though the pastor, Rodney Howard Brown, had talked to the sheriff, that very sheriff came in and closed the service down. And so, because somebody complained, and so whose business it is to complain? Whose business is it to complain? Are we in Eastern Europe? Sometimes I'm kind of wondering. So everybody's a snitch? Like, what business is it of yours? And why would the county sheriff accede to that sort of demand? Is he elected? Is that the problem? Anyway, subsequent to that, Rodney Howard Brown closed it down. Now, he did say. So people started talking across the nation because they heard the news report and didn't check into what actually happened. Well, by now, folks, you need to know that the news reports are usually not true. Well, he didn't commit civil disobedience. He thought he was well within compliance. Anyway, he said he closed down the church against repressive, tyrannical government. However, what was happening, and I think weighed in his decision-making perhaps even more strongly, even though these weren't the words, he said people were shooting at. So his building is close to a freeway, and people were driving by and shooting at him. What? What? So, pro-government shootists? What? Anyway, so very few days after that, the Texas governor put churches on the essential list. Now, the churches in Texas didn't all start meeting, but the Texas governor knew that he didn't want to have that legal battle because he would lose, and would also lose election in Texas. I don't know how it falls out in Florida, but anyway, since then, the governor in Florida has said that churches are essential, which was what Rodney Howard Brown was arguing. And certainly his church is essential because he feeds thousands of people every week. And so this is a very concerning. People don't seem to understand a basic understanding of rights in the United States, basic history. No surprise on that, because we've been in a pot boiling with education. And I have heard from some of my more liberal and mentally ill friends, oh, it's the churches who are imperiling us. Like, what are you even talking about? Excuse me. No, the churches are protecting your rights. What little is available. And there's so few churches that we're meeting. And even if they were, how is that harming you if you're in your house? My foot. I can just go on about how crazy afraid and incoherent some of my friends were who had no faith. However, remember, we shut in because we hoped to flatten the curve so we wouldn't overwhelm the medical system, because that's what we were seeing in Italy and Spain. Remember that? And we flattened the curve. We didn't just flatten the curve. We squashed the curve. There were so few hospitalizations, even in New York. Of course, everybody I talked to said, oh, our place is the worst. So the people in New Orleans, oh, we have it the worst. The people in Tyler, oh, we have it the worst. Get over it. Well, you're making decisions based on what you're hearing, and you need to have better news. But that's what I'm talking about. We had this great, great rescue. So was it the closing of the bars? Probably helped. Or was it the National Day of Prayer? It was the same weekend. That's when the curve started to flatten. And by Tuesday after Easter, the curve was squashed. Like day after day of almost no hospitalizations in New York City. Come on, folks. Were the predictions wrong? The models just crazily wrong? Or were our prayers effective? Now, some people, so many people pop off and they don't know what they're talking about. Some people think, oh, it's coming back, it's coming. No, our staying in was not intended to squash it. That wasn't a reasonable. And yes, it could come back. And people who've recovered could, we know this. Right? But the issue was to flatten the curve so we didn't overwhelm the medical industry. And as we open up, the authorities are considering this, and these are specifically in the governor's executive order here, and I'm sure they are other places. I think people didn't really understand the severity and seriousness of the economic collapse that we courted. I don't mean recession, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean economic collapse, not just economic, but monetary collapse, which I think is what was intended. So whether the Chinese intended it or the globalists, the pinky and the brain, whether they orchestrated the whole thing or if it's just don't let a good disaster go to waste. Our monetary system is very precarious because our sovereign debt, not just the United States, but most of the developed nations, we're overweighted in debt. And so, and we saw Mr. Brown of the United Kingdom's explicitly say that he wanted a one world government to try to deal with this catastrophe and that we needed to have one world currency. Well, that highly interesting, because that's exactly, this whole thing showed the folly of it. So it was the EU's position that we needed to not close borders. And my understanding is through the whole time, that certainly was their articulated position at the beginning. And they ridiculed and mocked and were frustrated at Trump closing the border to China. And incidentally, the first country that closed the border was Taiwan, and they have fared so much better than the rest of us. But we closed our borders, and the EU argued and asked its members nation not to close the border, but simply to wait for a vaccine. I cannot underline to you how foolish an argument this is. A vaccine for a virus, that's never been effective. And even if it could be effective, it would take 18 months at least to obtain, and it would never be able to administer it to everyone on the planet. That's crazy. And so you just wanted people to die so that you could push your globalist or pinky and the brain agenda. So New Zealand closed its borders tight, had very few. Sweden didn't close down and had very few. They figured they could let it pass over because people are going to get a virus. Why didn't we talk about treatment? Why didn't we talk about cleanliness? Why aren't we talking about this? I don't know. But most people are focused on an irrational fear because that's what they're seeing in their media. So we do know now, which I knew and said back in early February at least, that this came out of a lab. And yes, it was bat-related. Came out of a lab. Why did I say that? Because I subscribed to a news aggregating service that said the Mossad said that. And so we had some liberals who were going down and saying, well, let's not be racist against our Chinese neighbors. Of course not. That's not the issue. Right? And neither is your ice cream. Okay? Now, I am not into politics, and that's not what I'm talking about. So if you are going to be terribly offended and shut me off because of some pointillia here, then you're illustrating the problem. I am trying to give you the big picture. We had a great rescue. First, the death angel passed over us as we were in our houses on Passover. We were told, and we had reason to expect, that 20 million people would die on the planet, and that did not happen. I think our prayers were answered. That's the first rescue. That people sought God and are going to awaken. That's the second rescue. And there is more, much more. We had a great rescue because we know these things now. Our government, the problems in our government, have been exposed and so we can correct them. Our governments in media have been exposed and so we can correct them. Our problems in religion have been exposed and so we can correct them. Our problems in family and medical and education have been exposed so we can correct them. We had a great rescue. And one man, hated, maligned, disrespected like nobody in that office has ever been, is largely responsible. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I get on my knees and thank God for our rescue and for the strength of that one man. You need to have your eyes opened. Now, we have been praying for an awakening for a long time. And yes, I pray for that and I hope for that. And I hope that this means many people come to the Lord, but so much more than that. You need to wake up. You need to pull your eyelids open and pull the sleep out of your eyes. Because we need to correct this. The wheat and the tares are going to grow together, yes. And this world, the evil forces are continuing to try to kill Christians, starve people, and use every false and ridiculous argument possible. But the wheat's supposed to grow too. You're not supposed to sit on your duff and do nothing and expect Jesus to come back and do it all. God wants to work with his children and he wants to grow his children up. All right, so one of the ways that the enemy cuts down truth is to use ad hominem arguments. So David Barton comes out and gives you 1.5 million details of history and somebody else comes and says, oh, well, he's just a problem. He's just a right-wing crazy. Oh, really? And somebody else comes out and unpacks Reformation teaching for today, a vocation and civil magistrates. I'm using words from history, and they're going to call it the Seven Mountains. And then somebody calls, oh, right-wing watch, Dominionist. I don't even know what Dominionist is. Are there really any such people? Don't know, but who cares? Let's look. Are they biblical? Do they have good fruit? All right, so what is this Seven Mountain teaching? Well, Bill Bright and some others from his generation mentioned it, and Lance Wallnau preaches it, and John Inlow preaches it, and go for it. But somebody said, yes, but is it biblical? Yeah, sure it is. So Revelation 17, verse 9. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. So this is the great harlot, and she sits on seven mountains. And of course, traditionally, people have thought that, well, that's the seven mountains of Rome that match the seven hills in Jerusalem. And there may be something to that, but the idea is that these are the seven sectors of society. You know, whether or not you want to go with that wording or not, let's do agree that Revelation 11 and 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. I can just hear Handel's, and he shall reign forever and ever. Okay, but he is set down until all things are under his feet. So the great drama of history is playing out as God intervenes in history and through us. Okay, and so we get a blessing from reading Revelation. Okay, so let's go to Revelation 1:1 and 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So yes, the book of Revelation can help you know something about the end of times. And we are in the last of the last days, I agree. But look, the birth pangs have only begun now. But God works in a pattern. And you would do well to fit into that pattern. Be part of the wheat that's growing. Okay? So be part of the rescue. And let's put stakes down in the ground that was taken. In the family. Don't let your family be gutted. Start with religious education for your children. And yeah, you're not educated, so get in the Bible and pray yourself with your kid. I know that's just a radical, revolutionary idea, and you can't even imagine that in a good sense, because all we have heard about that, you haven't even heard about it. I heard about it only in a negative context, that only bad parents would so abuse their children as to make them have family devotions together. Excuse me, what? How about let's all studying together? Don't let your family be gutted. Don't let the government take your education away. You are addicted to free education, and your children are not educated. And you're surprised when they come back and you don't even recognize them after a few years. And why are you raiding the family coffers to send them to some education that makes them unfit for the workforce in college? You need to check these out. Are these colleges working on their charters or not? Let's look about our economy. Why is our money based on debt and not on productivity? We're a productive society. Let's production be rewarded. And let's not allow our politicians to steal our productivity and invest it in things that take away our rights. Let's learn about what our politicians are supposed to be doing, how our government's supposed to function, and make it function that way so we can be prosperous people. Notice, capitalism has become a bad word, and I'm not talking about greed capitalism, but let's talk about greed socialism. So productive, conscious capitalism has always been more productive than any other system. In fact, it's the only system, right? China wants to be capitalist. They just want to be a controlled capitalist society. Soviet Union is gone too because they wanted some capitalism because we're tired of being hungry. Have you noticed that our medicine is controlled? Have you noticed that doctors who are on the cutting edge of really helping people and charging little somehow disappear? and chemotherapy that has never had any science or good fruit is the standard of care? What is going on? And pharmaceuticals rule the day, whereas herb medicine is maligned, and you know, you can't even buy a book in the United States that has fulsome information about how to use herb medicine. Excuse me, you didn't know that we had censorship, did you? Ah, what about the media telling you all kinds of crazy false things? You just watch the press conferences of the president and you're just appalled. We had fawning 4 years ago. Fawning! We had controlled by some other, it's not one party or the other. What is going on? Yes, remember Reagan controlled the media entirely when we entered in Grenada. And Nixon had to do the Checkers speech. But look, what's going on? This is well outside of what's happened ever before. We need some decent news media. And we can't rely on Facebook, because Facebook, for instance, has been deleting as disinformation any page that has to do with reopen the economy rally. So thank God we have True News and Epoch Times. You know, the Epoch Times was started by a man who participated in the Tiananmen Square. And Epoch Times has had their reporters in China to be killed. But fortunately, the publisher survived and he's publishing now in the United States. That's the kind of true stand-up personality and truthfulness that we need to see. Hallelujah! So this is part of our rescue. So let's be sure we keep it. And arts and entertainment, we've got PureFlix and some others. Hallelujah! Finally, we're getting something that's not just plain garbage. We need some sage cons to come out. Thank God for Barr, who has indicted some of the behavior that we knew was flagrantly illegal, but they would have been in charge of our government completely by now if some completely surprising left turn didn't happen with the last election. And that really was the Christians going out and voting, in my opinion. Well, the unions had something to do with it, too. In religion, we need some real leaders to emerge. And Mario Murillo has a blog post about that. We have leaders who have been suffering because they've been persecuted for saying the right things. Righteousness has been persecuted in recent years. And he's saying a new brand of leadership will arise. I see the stats of church attendance have gone down. And no wonder, because what are churches doing? Nothing really useful. They're making huge shows. You know, one of those canister lights can cost $10,000. And we've got people starving with locusts. These are our brothers and sisters, people who were being enslaved and kidnapped in Africa, our brothers and sisters. And we were investing in high-tech shows. Smarten up. So the birth pangs have started. Are you going to be part of the birthing? Are you going to be some midwife who sits on her hands, doing nothing? Or are you going to be part of the problem? So start with your kids. That's your first ministry. You don't need a whole lot of stuff. What you need is good kids. The wheat and the tares are growing together, but hallelujah, the wheat is growing. And now we've seen a difference. What are you investing in? What are you investing in? Are you investing in a Bless Me Club? Are you investing in somebody who helps you, who gives you practical advice on how to help your kids? And 20 years from now, and in eternity, you look back, what did you invest in? What kind of ministry did you invest in? What kind of politician did you invest in? The one who promised you the most emoluments? Free money? or the ones who protected your rights and your children's rights. It's up to you. We've had a great rescue. Let's stay free, because it's for freedom that we were made free.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to greatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.